Dear brothers and sisters, first of all, before sharing a few thoughts from the Word of God with you, I want to say 2 points. First one, I convey the greetings of the brethren in Heliopolis, Cairo, to all of you, to all those present here, and we in Egypt appreciate much your prayers. Doors are opened for the gospel and for knowing the truth, and there is opposition, as all of us know, but we appreciate your prayers much. This is the first point. My second point is, for my English-speaking brothers, excuse me for my poor English. If sometimes you will find some mistakes grammatically or in pronunciation, I'm standing here in Britain, so I'm shivering when speaking. But I know that your love embraces me. And thank you, Brother Michael, for asking the Lord help for this time. What the Lord put on my heart, after what we have considered concerning the glorious future waiting for us, how we are now going to face our daily life in waiting for the second coming of our Lord Jesus. And especially, I have on my heart some thoughts about the resurrection power working in our lives in a practical way. We were just reminded about the glorious power which has been displayed in raising the Lord Jesus from the dead and in lifting him above all power and principalities. And please, can you turn with me to verses from Ephesians 1, the prayer of Paul. We know that Paul prayed in this epistle for the saints twice, chapter 1 and chapter 3. Chapter 1, he prayed for their knowledge, to understand, to know. Chapter 3, he prayed for their hearts to be in submission to the Lordship of Christ. In chapter 1, he prayed for three things. I am concerned with the third one. Verse 19. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us world who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, whom he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Paul here is describing the mighty power of God. And if we can ask, where the mighty power of God was displayed? It was not displayed in such a manner in creation. Yes, God in creation displayed power. It was not displayed when he crossed the Red Sea for the children of Israel to pass, though it was a power. It was not displayed when he judged the world with the flood, though it was power. But the greatest display of the power of God was when he raised Christ from death and lifted him up on high. And the question may come to our minds, why? Why the greatest display of power was seen in the resurrection of Christ and his glorification? I think because when Christ delivered himself to the death of the cross, he, by his own will, put himself under horrible antagonistic powers. Let us imagine the antagonistic human powers that was against our Lord. And let us imagine the huge and horrible satanic powers that was against our Lord. And also, let us not forget that he died under the weight of the judgment of God. From all these three things, human power, satanic power, and the judgment of God, God came, and by all his glory, he raised him. Not only he raised him and lived him to live here on earth, no, he raised him and set him at his own right hand in a place of power. Of course, we all know that the expression right hand speaks about power, authority, dominion. He is in that place, far above all other powers. Let us think a moment in this sort of divine power that took Christ from under all these powers and put him on high. And now, knowing something of this power, let us apply this power to every one of us here. Because Paul here says a word that drew my attention. He says in verse 19, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word or towards us who believe?" So this is not something to contemplate only, to study only, to be amazed of only, but it is something that we believers have experienced and we are called to experience every day. This is the first point I have in my thoughts. The power that is, which was displayed has worked in every believer. How? It has worked, it is working, and it will work. First of all, how the power has worked in us. After the end of chapter 1, chapter 2 begins with the word "and." So there is a link. There is a beautiful link. As if Paul says, the same power that has worked in Christ has worked also in you, you who have believed the gospel. What happened? "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Not only this, but "you have walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh. This life-giving power, and I hope that everyone here in this room this evening, and I pray for this, I hope that everyone have experienced this power, this life-giving power. We were dead in our sins, not only dead, and we were under the dominion of three enemies. All of you know, we were under the dominion of this world system, the course of this world. And we were under the dominion of Satan, and also under the dominion of the lusts of our flesh. And then what happened? What happened? I was thinking, when we were just walking here and there during our breaks, if any one of the students in Kent University, you can bring a non-born again one, can you bring him to attend 1 hour of Bible study and get nourished and refreshed and find his delight in this? Of course, no. Why? Away from Christ, he is dead. Dead spiritually. But look how at the end of 3 days and something, we were nourished, we were refreshed, we were singing about the glorious future. What made the change? The power of God has changed you and me, has given us life, the same power that has worked in raising Christ and setting him up has worked in me and you. And now, my question, before we leave the conference, how many of us has experienced this great salvation? How many of us have during the conference tasted how the Lord is good, as Peter says in his first epistle chapter 2. If you have tasted, it is not something only to know, dear brothers and sisters. It is not something to write notes about. It is something to taste. Have you tasted the Lord? Have you tasted his salvation? Have you tasted his power changing you? Your mind, your affections, your desires, your plans. Look with me, please, at how Paul is describing the heathen world that were present in the first century. And I think it is the same in the 21st century. Look to Ephesians 4, the same epistle. Just I want to emphasize how the power changes. Christianity is the power of God changing a dead person into a living person. Chapter 4, verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Underline the word mind. Futile mind, empty mind, nothing fruitful for God. People may have a PhD, but concerning things of God, the mind is nothing, fruitless, no fruit. We were this, you were this, I was this. Not only this, let us continue, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened. People now speak about the IQ, being smart, having high intellectual powers. Well, and God in his sovereignty uses this for our welfare in many areas of life, but concerning the relation with God, the understanding is darkened. Darkness. being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you, I like the word but in the word of God, and I think many of you like this word, but. Underline it in your Bibles, but. You are something, and the Gentiles are something. And I can say this evening, for those of us who are alive spiritually, people around us, we love them, we pray for them, we fast for them, we weep for them, we reach them with the gospel, with all the ways, but we are different. Why? The power of God has worked in our lives in a wonderful way that deserves our thanksgiving and also deserves our, what can I say, our whole life, to consecrate, to give Him all our life. What has happened? But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth in Jesus that you put off, or as Brother Darby has it, you're having put off the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, or being renewed. And verse 24, and that you put on the new man, or you're having put on the new man. Complete change. Complete change. Has you experienced, my brother, this change? Have you experienced, my sister, this change? It is not sufficient to be raised in a brethren family or a Christian family. It is not sufficient to be attendance in conferences, which is good. It is not sufficient to go and buy some books from chapter 2, even if Brother Edwin will be angry with me and will not invite me once more here. It is a life-changing power. The power that has raised Christ has changed us. And second point, this same power displayed in Ephesians 1, displayed in raising Christ and setting Him up, it is keeping us. Do you remember the verse in 1 Peter 1? Now I'm speaking for the unbelievers who are attacked by Satan. And even, let me know, dear brothers, even some of our dear older brothers and sisters, I know some of them in Egypt, when they are old and they are weak psychologically and physically, Satan attacks them even in their eternal salvation. I know many beloved aged brothers who were just attacked by Satan. Now, when Satan attacks us, who can keep you for Christian life? Who? Your prayers. You're holding fast to God. No, you are kept by power of God. It is the same power. The power that has saved you is the same power that is keeping you. I remember the story of a converted brother in Egypt, converted from Islam. After his accepting Christ, the family tried to persecute him in many ways, but they couldn't succeed. Then they tried to tempt him. His father told him, I will give you, I will give you, I will give you. And then, you know, this dear brother said to his father, okay, father, I will leave him, but please let him leave me. I can't get away from his hand. I'm not holding his hand. He is holding me. I am under a certain power, the power of Christ is holding me. Look to the thought that this new believer has converted, has experienced. He is not holding to Christ. He is not holding the power of God, but the power of God is holding him. How many of us feel this day by day? We are kept by the power of God. We are kept by the power of God. Now, practically in our lives as believers, all of us, young and adult and old, how? How can I experience the resurrection power, the power that has raised Christ and set him on high in our daily life? The Lord put before me four areas of our lives, four areas in which we are encouraged to experience this power. First of all, in our Christian walk in daily life. And this we find, if you turn with me, in Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Beginning by verse 9. It is also a prayer of Paul. Colossians 1. Beginning by verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And please look to the next verse, verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Why? To do miracles as people think now? No. To be famous preachers? No. To get supernatural gifts? No. Why is this glorious power? Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Do you think, brothers, that in our daily walk we need these two things? Patience or endurance and long suffering. This is two things that characterize the Christian walk. When we live among people and they see stresses of life and all that is happening in this world, and then they look to a brother or a sister and they see him in college, university, at work, at home, they see him having patience, endurance and long suffering. This is Christian walk. But to confess and to tell you the truth, by myself, I have never been able to be patient and long suffering with my own power. Even having known the Lord since many years, but when it comes to stresses or to stimulations or to people that, and we have a lot of this in Egypt, people that can make you nervous while you are driving your car or these things, or we need patience and long suffering. And I think every one of you also has in his situation and circumstances some pressures. Now, Paul here says, the power of God is ready for you. Have your portion of it day by day. Why? To be patient and long-suffering. The difference between spiritual endurance and long-suffering and just psychological how can you put it, psychological training of the soul. It is completely different. In psychology, they try to tell people, I will translate the term of Arabic directly. Cool your nerves. Have you something like cool down. But Christianity is not cooling down. No, it is power to be patient and long-suffering. What is the difference between the two words? Are they identical? I don't think, but just I share with the thought. Patience or endurance in the original Greek means to continue though there is a pressure coming upon you. There is a pressure. You are pressed, but you are not failing. You continue. This is endurance. It deals with difficult circumstances. It deals with difficult situations. But long suffering has another side. It deals with difficult people. And sometimes we have both. Difficult circumstances and difficult people. But the power of God is there to help you and me for the two things. And not only long suffering, not only patience and long suffering and being not joyful, but he says here with joyfulness. It is not something just outside, just from my appearance, but with joyfulness. This is the first area where we need the power of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. The power is to us. Second area, as Christians, we are faced with the enemy. And we can't stand fast in the battle without a power. And this is why Paul says in Ephesians 6, of course all of you know that the final passage in Ephesians speaks about the Christian warfare, the conflict with Satan and all his army. But how he begins, Ephesians 6:10. It is encouraging to see that he didn't begin with citing the power against us, but he begins with showing the power for us, and it is different. Power on my side, and then not the power on the opposite side, against you. Verse 10, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I think, just a thought, that this is the same power mentioned in Ephesians 1. The mighty power, the power that has raised Christ. This power is available for you and me. Why? To get strength from it, to face the enemy, to face his attacks, to face his wiles. Many times we cannot perceive his wiles. Even dear brothers, when he attacks us as assemblies or as brothers together, when he attacks us as families, when he attacks us as persons, that he has vials. But if you are near to the Lord and strengthened with the power of God, you can stand fast. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand a beautiful military word, to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let me imagine that after a blessed conference like this, let me imagine that we will be attacked by the devil. I don't know how, but we have experienced this many times. After a time where the Lord has showered blessings upon his people, Satan comes. Why? He is trying to take the ground on which you are standing now. Of course, we know that Ephesians has the parallel book in the Old Testament, Joshua. And Joshua speaks about possession of the land. Ephesians speaks about possession, not of land, but of spiritual blessings in the heavenly life in Christ. And we have possessed something, this conference. Let us expect that the devil will come, trying to let us just leave something. Not theoretically, but in our practical life. For example, we have learned that the Lord is coming soon. Good. If he is coming soon, a practical point for me and you. Are we going to give more hours for his ministry, for his service? For example, are we going to sacrifice some of our relaxation time or enjoyment time or some of our just legal things for serving him? This is the practical effect of the coming of the Lord. He is coming. Okay, if he is coming, shall there be any change in me after the conference than before the conference? Satan has his vials, but we don't have to be afraid from Satan. Yes, we have the power of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Third area. First area was daily life facing difficulties, patience and long suffering. Second area, Christian conflict. Third area, we find it in 2 Timothy 1. Paul is writing to encourage a young minister, Timothy, who has a lot of things to discourage himself with. He was young, he was ill, and the testimony of the Lord at that time brought to him shame. So, how Paul encourages a minister, and how the Lord is encouraging every one of us here, young and old. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning by verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And let us underline this sentence. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to your gift. No. According to your devotion. No. According to the power of God. Still the theme of power is here. The power of God. Who? The power of God. The God who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I think that very few of us, yes, have known something about what Paul says here, the afflictions of the gospel. Afflictions of the gospel. There is three things about the gospel, at least in the New Testament. First of all, the blessings of the gospel. For example, Romans 5, all the blessings there, we find seven blessings in Romans 5, from verse 1 to verse 11. And this we all enjoy and partake in the blessings of the gospel. In this conference, we have been richly fed by blessings of the gospel. Second one. Some of us share in the work of the gospel. Work of the gospel, it means giving tracts and speaking with people about the Lord and ministering. But there is a third thing here. We are not privileged to have it. But maybe one of us need this encouragement. There is the suffering of the gospel. Suffering means for the sake of the gospel, there is some suffering. I have to suffer. I have to pay a price. And for this, we are not meet to this by ourselves. We need the power of God. This is why Paul here just drew the attention of Timothy from himself and from his character as a shy person and from the circumstances around him to the power of God. But to make some application, I think that the Lord is allowing some of us to share in the afflictions of the gospel through the many doors opened. And I encourage especially my dear young brothers who are still have their health and they are in good shape. Don't be ashamed, even if the gospel brings to you some afflictions. You may be mocked by your friends. I know, I thought many years ago that persecution is in the Islamic and heathen countries, but I have discovered that everywhere now, the followers of Christ and those who bring the gospel are persecuted. But let us continue. Let us continue. Let us partake, let us take our share in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. Every day, please have in your hand luggage or what you say, in your handbag, put some tracts and some gospels or a New Testament. When I was coming from Paris to here to London through the train, the Lord opened the door with three persons. A lady from France, and a lady from Lebanon, and a lady from Saudi Arabia. And what was astonishing to me, the one that has welcomed the tract about the love of God was the lady from Saudi Arabia. But still, handle tract for the Lord. Speak to people. It is time, brothers, it is time. If we believe that the Lord is coming soon, it is time to have our share, to be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, not by our own power. Fill your handbag with tracts and gospels, and fill your heart with prayers, bringing to you the power of God. The two go hand by hand. Power of God and things to be used. Finally, because I have only 1 minute, and Brother Edwin is looking to me, I understand. Just I want to encourage you by a true story that has happened in the United States, and it touched my heart. A medical student who was in the process of studying there, in the summer season, as it is known in the West, uses some of his time to work, to get money sufficient for the expenses of his studies. And at one hot and dry day, maybe at a certain area in the United States where it is very hot during summer season, he got so thirsty and dehydrated, and he needed something to drink, and he knocked the door, and then a girl opened, and then he said, "Can I buy a cup of milk?" She entered and asked her mother, a strange person asked to buy a cup of milk, and her mother said, "Give him the milk. You have the in the fridge cold milk. Give him, but we don't buy. We are Christians. Give him." So he took the first cup, and he was satisfied, and then he asked for a second one. "Can you give me another one?" She gave him. At the end, he tried to pay, and they refused. Days passed, and one day, while he was a doctor in the emergency, came a lady with what we call emergency case or acute abdomen, severe pain. She had a sort of inflammation in her appendix, and she needed immediate operation. And there was a doctor on the shift. He did the operation. Everything was okay. He saved her life. And day after day, he visited her to just to know how the case is going. But one day, he found her weeping. He asked, "Why are you weeping?" She said, "The bill has come. Some thousands of dollars, maybe $3,000 or $4,000, they were not under medical cover. I can't pay." And then he nodded his head and said, "Okay." He went to his office, he asked for the bill, and he wrote down, "Free operation equal 2 cups of cold milk." He has remembered that this was the little girl that has given to him the milk while he was student and tired. The lesson for me and you, with the difference, of course, we are now serving a rejected Christ, is it not? A rejected Christ who says that a cup not of milk will be rewarded, but a cup of cold water. Every small thing, dear brother, you share in the ministry of the Lord, even if it brings some afflictions for you, you will be rewarded. But look to the difference. Look in our story, price of 2 cups of milk. $1, the two cups, less. Look to the price of the operation, thousands of dollars. I can't say that the same will happen with us, but it is just a story to show us. We serve a generous master. We serve a loving master. We serve a master that deserves all things in our lives. But the time is short. Finally, the first area in which we need the power of resurrection. First of all, can you remember, or you have forgotten? First of all, we need the power for daily walk, for patience and long suffering. 2, for the conflict with the devil. 3, for sharing in the sufferings of the gospel. 4, to share in the suffering of Christ himself. And this was the desire of Paul that all of us know in Philippians 3. And I will close just with reading the verse and leaving you to reflect about this verse. Philippians 3:10. the desire of Paul. Philippians 3:10. That I may know him. Have you not known the Lord, Paul? You are already converted since 30 years at least. No. That I may know him experimentally. I want to know him more. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The power of his resurrection that enables us to share even in the sufferings of Christ. May the Lord use these simple words to warm our hearts to live more for him. Amen.
Lord.